How are we? Are we good? We're good. Are we good? I'm looking at all my directors. Joking. This is completely unscripted. Hi, everybody. Welcome to my home. I'm Dennis Prager for my virtually every week, right? I mean, it's amazing given how much I travel. We do pretty much do every week. Welcome to my home where I'm enjoying a yummy cigar as I do daily. You know what? Maximizing legitimate joys is a good part of happiness, but that's not my subject. Talk about everything on these things. This is completely unscripted. It is completely spontaneous, which is a danger, by the way. I mean, what if I say something that, you know, then makes the rounds and invalidates me as a human being for the rest of my life? But it's worth it. The risk is worth it for the realism of it. By the way, if you hear snoring, that was what distracted me. That is my bulldog, Otto. I'm going to talk a little lower because he runs the house, and I don't want to wake him up. Ooh. Nah, I don't think he could be heard now. Anyway, great to be with you, everybody. Thanks for being with me. So listen to this. This is one of these things. I can't even have fun with this. This is so, it's just depressing. That's all I could say it is. A story came out of Fordham University, New York City, that hit home because it involves a PragerU video. We have a video given by a remarkably intelligent, wonderful woman, one of our 250 or so videos. And it is it questions the statistics and even more so the generalization that our campuses are, what is the term that they use? They're a rape culture, yeah. There's a rape culture on our campuses. Now, you have to understand something. If I were Machiavellian, cynical, manipulative, I would foster that lie. Because I believe the universities are so awful, they're so morally and intellectually corrupting, that most people, not all, leave less thoughtful than they came in, less logical, less intellectually oriented, that anything that invalidates the campus, hey, I should be on board. But I have this bizarre belief that truth is more important than just about anything. And I'll even defend the campus, which I have disdain for, if there is a lie told about it. This notion of a culture of rape, I mean, that's a big statement, culture of rape. But you see, our dear fellow citizens of the left, not liberals, should have nothing in common with leftists. Leftism is anti-liberal. But our left-wing fellow citizens use hysteria as a weapon. But they don't do it consciously. They're prone to hysteria. This is one of the many hysterias, that there is a campus of rape, a culture of rape. Let me ask you a question before I get on to this particular subject from Fordham. Why would any parent of a daughter send their daughter to a place that they believed had a rape culture? It shows you no one believes the lie, but no one wants to take it on because the left smears you if you do, that you're pro-rape and you are a misogynist, you hate women, and people are afraid, which is a very terrible problem. If good people didn't fear, good would always win. That's a very important thing to know about life. But I have been blessed with, I fear God, I don't fear people, and that's a very big deal. I should talk about that one time. Because you're going to fear something in life, and it's better if it's a good and just God than if it's the New York Times editorial page, which is what most people in our society fear. And I'm using the New York Times as paradigmatic. Could be any paper, any broadcast, whatever. But let me just ask you, why would a parent, if, what is it, 1 in 5, 1 in 4, whatever the data is, your daughter will be sexually assaulted as a 1 in 4 chance, or raped, they use it interchangeably, which is also dishonest, will have this happen to her? Tell me where would you send? I have sons, so I can't answer this, but I can answer it theoretically. Of course, I wouldn't send my daughter to a place where she had a 1 in 4 chance of being raped. It's an absurdity. I wouldn't send my son to a campus that is a 1 in 4 chance of just being mugged, not even beaten up, just mugged, held up. Right? It's the fraud, but people buy it. It's very, very angering. By the way, men suffer from it because a lot of men are accused and they have no rights on campuses anymore. They have no rights of defense, and that's a problem. But women suffer more, in my opinion. Women have paid a terrible price, because of feminism. I'm talking about left-wing feminism, the notion that all people are created equal. You don't have to be a feminist. You just have to be a human with a conscience to know that. That is what it has created. My theory, and I'll come back to this, is, and I've seen this my whole life, and it's more now than ever, feminism has created a weaker woman, not a stronger woman. Of this, I am as certain of that as I am that the sun rises in the east and sets in the west. That is what has happened. We have, in general, left-wing ideology has produced weaker human beings. That is what has happened. And strength, moral strength, character strength, is a very big part of a good life. So here's the story to illustrate my point. This is from Fordham University. And I'm reading to you the campus reform report, but it's now been carried on a lot of places. What is the latest one? Teen Vogue. Teen Vogue. I missed this issue. I don't know how. Fordham University has launched an investigation. An investigation? You like that? Fordham University has launched an investigation after students were reduced to tears by the screening of a PragerU video. This is not PragerU handout. This is all over the place. During a resident assistant, that's RA, training on sexual assault. The film was shown as an example of the conservative perspective on campus sexual assault and was juxtaposed. What's the name of that so people could all watch it? Providing, I don't think you watching this are going to be reduced to tears. Are 1 in 5 women raped
at college?
At college. That's the name of the video?
Caroline Kitchens.
Thank you. Okay. The film was shown as an example of the conservative perspective on campus sexual assault and was juxtaposed with a trailer for The Hunting Ground. Woo, The Hunting Ground. Oh, my God. A documentary presented as an example of liberal views on the issue. So what, women are hunted down? Is that the implication? Again, why would you send your daughter to a place where she's going to be hunted down? Parents have to do one of two things. They either have to say, this is a lie and I'm sending my daughter to college, or I don't care if my daughter has a 1 in 4, 1 in 5 chance of being hunted down. Okay? There is no third alternative to what I have just spoken of. It's right. Either you don't give a damn about your daughter, or you know that this is a lie. Some RAs were apparently upset by PragerU Video's claim that there is, quote, no evidence that rape is a cultural norm on college campuses. That is correct. There is no evidence that rape is a cultural norm on campuses. That is correct. But you're not even allowed to offer that as a view, apparently. Fordham University has launched an investigation. Oh, I already said that. In an effort to provide political context for the issue, a dean at the college, poor dean, the man just wanted to present another side. But you can't do that on campus. Now, why do you think Prager University has 400 million views this year and will probably end up with more than 500 million views this year? Because so many young people, and that's our biggest viewership, is people under 35, so many young people are getting a glimpse of the utter and total intellectual closed-mindedness of the university. It's a closed bubble. The university. But we're offering rational, moral ideas that run contrary to what you're hearing at college. And young people are going, wow, I don't know if they're right, but it seems that maybe there is another side. I'm curious. Dean Christopher Rogers showed two separate videos pertaining to sexual assault, the first of which was a trailer for a documentary called The Hunting Ground, while the second was a PragerU video disputing the 1 in 5 statistic. During this video, many more RAs left the room, many of them women, some were in tears. Okay, so let me just say, a woman who leaves a showing of a film by a woman, not even a film, a talk, a 5-minute talk by a woman who completely sympathizes with anyone who has truly endured rape. I mean, that's terrible. That's an evil. Rape is an evil, okay? Just let me make that clear. But to leave in tears because you heard an idea you differ with, that's scary. That's what I call, that's weakness. Okay? Now, if a woman was raped and this stirred up terrible emotions, okay. But that would be true for either film. The film about rape or the film by the PragerU. Either one would stir up terrible emotions. Okay. Many of them women, some were in tears. As a result, the Fordham Ram, that's their school paper, now reports that the school's Department of Public Safety, oh my God, the Department of Public Safety, it is not safe to see a 5-minute video with which you differ. You know, I'm a Jew, and I lost some relatives murdered before I was born in the Holocaust. How come I could watch videos on the Holocaust? I don't think I'm strong because I could watch it. I want to know about everything. Okay, anyway. The Department of Public Safety and the Title IX coordinator, Anastasia Coleman, have launched an investigation into the matter. In her statement on the training, Rowan Hornbeck is an RA, a resident assistant, notes that many students were, quote, in tears, unquote, after the PragerU video, upset by its claim that there is no evidence that rape is a cultural norm, quote, unquote, on college campuses. That claim caused women at the campus to cry. That is what I mean by the left is producing weak people. That should not produce tears. I'm sorry. I know this offends people, but you in life you choose whether to be offended or not. I don't mean it, well, I don't mean it to be offensive, but some adult has to level with you. If that reduces you to tears, that is not a strong inner core that you have, and it is worth looking into. No evidence, just because they heard that there isn't evidence of a cultural norm of rape. During this video, some were in tears, noting she, this is Hornbeck herself, was, quote, shaking after the video finished playing. Wow. Okay. Hornbeck goes on to bemoan the fact that the same PragerU video was shown during a resident director training a few weeks prior, with many RDs, resident directors, raising concerns about this video being upsetting to RAs. This is scary stuff. Numerous RDs asked that the video not be shown to the RAs, but Dean Rogers, quote, chose to show it without any type of warning anyway. What is he supposed to warn them of? You may see something with which you differ? Wow. My God, the New York Times should come with a warning every day. I get it every day. I differ with almost everything in the New York Times. It's never reduced me to tears on very big subjects. Adding that the episode, quote, shows a complete disregard for the feelings and emotional well-being of the RAs present. Why? Why? It's not a disregard for your feelings. It is a regard for presenting alternate views that decent people can differ on. That's it. She concludes that Dean Rogers, quote, this is frightening, is not fit to hold his position as the deputy Title IX coordinator because no one who undermines victims' experiences. Who said that any victim's experience was undermined? That's a lie. Our presenter didn't undermine any victim's experience. She undermined the belief that there is a cultural norm of rape on campuses. Do you understand how they... Either they can't think logically, which I do believe, because they probably have graduate degrees, and you learn not to think logically with many graduate degrees in the social sciences, or she is deliberately manipulative of language. I want to believe it's the first, because the second is a character flaw. We did not... This video in no way demeans... Who would demean the experience of a rape victim? I'm not even aware of such a film or statement ever being made in my lifetime. Should hold any administrative position at this Jesuit institution. Oh, boy. Okay. Well, Dean Rogers, this is what's happening. So, as I said, all right, so what do I conclude from all this? That you are living in a bubble at the university. That's all I want you to understand. You hear nothing that is not on the left. Nothing. You may not hear it. You will not hear it. And if someone, God forbid, presents it for 5 minutes, they will be fired. That is the state of your campus. I don't care. Even if you are an intellectually honest person of the left, you have to acknowledge what I just said. You just hear one thing, which, in my view, is almost always morally wrong, not to mention intellectually wrong and factually wrong. But more important to me than anything is the moral. So this is what has happened. That's why, you know, 30 of our videos have been put on the restricted list by YouTube. Wall Street Journal had 3 editorials on what YouTube did to Prager University last year. 3 featured editorials as an example of the shutting down of all non-left-wing thought in this country. It's very scary. It has never happened in America. Never. The right didn't do it. And, well, the left didn't have the power it has today. Because when the left has power, everywhere the left has power, it shuts down alternate views. Everywhere. There is no exception. Not liberals. The left. It's frightening. It should frighten you. I'm usually not this super-duper serious at these fireside chats, but this should upset you. So, obviously, we're going to look into this. And what did Teen Vogue say? Teen Vogue told the teens that this was a terrible video.
That PragerU is awful.
It's PragerU is awful.
And the 98 seconds, every 98 seconds.
Oh, every 98 seconds a woman in America is sexually assaulted. So what does that mean, for example? I think I could tell the example. Everybody here heard my wife say this right before the program. When my wife was a waitress, I would say this was about 20 years ago. 25, 30. Yeah, I guess 30 years ago. My wife was a waitress here in Southern California at a very famous restaurant chain. It doesn't matter what it is at all. And she was grabbed, her breasts were grabbed by the restaurant manager. She told him to let her go, you know, and that was the end of it. So I asked my wife, do you consider yourself the victim of sexual assault? Now, theoretically, she is, right? But she said not for a second in her life has she thought of herself as his victim. Now, not only don't I countenance what this guy did, A, I never did such a thing in my life. I don't believe my sons have. I pray that they haven't. I don't know a single person in my sphere of men who does that. But, to use the word sexual assault and then people think of it in terms of something even analogous to rape is to demean real suffering. That's what the left does. It demeans real suffering. The woman who was truly raped is a victim of these statistics. That's the irony. Because when all of these things are conflated into one, then the real victim is no different from the non-real victim. Was my wife a victim? Yes, my wife was a victim. Does she think of herself as such? No. Okay? On the scale of bad things that can happen to you, that's not high on the list. Okay? I'm sorry. I know this goes against everything you have heard. But maybe because I understand real evil, maybe because I grew up reading about Auschwitz and Gulag, somehow I have a better understanding of what real victimhood is than I want to be counted as a victim because I had an unpleasant experience. Unpleasant is not quite the same as victim. Okay? Is that fair to say? Probably isn't fair to say. That's the amazing thing. This is why we're going to reach 1 billion views. Because gradually the word is getting out. There is actually a more moral, more intellectually sound way of looking at life than the fraud that is being perpetrated in our universities. This is an example of moral fraud. That's what it is. Okay? Did I express myself clearly enough? Okay. Hi. That's why I smoke cigars. For the calm. I haven't done right a monologue on cigar smoking. Why would I smoke cigars? Because that's another thing. I mean, you know, secondhand smoke. That's another victim status nonsense. Secondhand smoke. 50,000 Americans die a year from secondhand smoke. I grew up with secondhand smoke. I almost never get a cold. Both my parents smoked. I'm fine. 50,000. I always want to know, 50,000 Americans die of secondhand smoke. Name one. I would like to know. Somebody should write, cause of death, secondhand smoke. Now, by the way, my father smoked a cigar in the car. He made me puke half the time when I was a kid. That's why I said no to my parents when I was 5 said, you want to take a family trip with us to Louisiana? And I said no. At 5, because I didn't want to sit in a car with my father smoking in a very enclosed place. I get it. It could be nauseating. I totally understand. But most people do not spend 12 hours a day in a car with somebody smoking and the windows up. Okay. All right. Anyway. Eddie 60. Woo. Hi, Eddie 60. From Palm Coast, Florida, asked, Dennis, do you believe it's better or worse for children to have a mom who is full-time at home versus full-time at work? Does it make a difference? I know kids who have been great with full-time moms at home. I know kids who have turned out great with full-time moms at work. So let me say that at the outset. However, since you asked what I think is more ideal, I think it is more ideal for one parent to take care of the home. It is a very complex operation to raise good children and make a good home. To make a good marriage, a good home, a happy home, and healthy children, I mean morally healthy, is a big job. Okay? Some woman called my show once when I was talking about daycare centers. She said she took her daughter out of daycare because the daughter was 3 or 4. And the daughter came home, and the daughter, you know, did not have a large vocabulary. So I guess she was 3. And she kept on saying, come on down. And the woman couldn't understand, why is my daughter keep saying, come on down? Well, it turns out that at the daycare, they had a TV on. And every day that the daughter was there, they played this famous American contestant show, The Price is Right. And so they would, the announcer, the MC would go, come on down to an audience member who was now going to be on stage guessing the prices of items. So that she realized, I don't think I want my daughter watching The Price is Right. I'd rather her interact with me. And so she became a full-time mom just on that basis. So yes, I this notion that you can balance marriage, work, children, family, all of them just perfectly juggle them. Some women may be able to pull it off, I have no doubt. The normal average human being, something will generally suffer between the among the marriage, work, or child. Probably something will pay a price if that's what you're doing, three of them full time. That's what you asked, full time. Jack 17. I think Jack 17, what was the other gentleman's name I just had? The 60-year-old?
Eddie.
Eddie? Does Jack 17 from Charlotte know Eddie 60 from Palm Coast?
They probably hang out.
You think they hang out? Jack 17 from Charlotte, North Carolina. Dennis, what does your ideal vacation look like? You are now seeing it. I am now in my ideal vacation at home. My ideal vacation is not another trip. I travel. I've been to 130 countries, all 50 states, 9 of the 10 Canadian provinces, and I still love travel. I love it. But my ideal vacation is probably being home with my wife and enjoying life and relaxing. I'll tell you what it isn't. I'll tell you what my ideal vacation isn't. I watch almost no TV. This has been true almost all of my life. I'm not a TV fan. But it's on with, because the background news is often on in the kitchen here at the house, because you know, I periodically, if I go in, I'll catch what they're talking about and so on. So an ad came on for some vacation paradise on a beach. And what did I see? I saw a couple, young couple, both perfect physical specimens, just frolicking with one another and smiling and, you know, all of these things, having a drink and lying in the sun. And I thought, whoa, that is not my ideal vacation. A, I can't stand lying in the sun. I don't understand its pleasure. It is a form of masochism to me. But I fully recognize that people love lying in the sun. Because I always wondered, what do you do while you lie in the sun? To the best of my knowledge, it's hot. I don't like heat. Number two, your skin burns. I don't like burning skin. Number three, what is the intellectual input of lying in the sun? There is none. And I like to keep my brain busy. So there was nothing. And I don't drink. Not out of conviction. I have no problem with people who can handle drinking. I just don't enjoy it. So there was really nothing in the ad that struck me as, whoa, would I love to be doing that, sipping on a drink while lying in the sun. Liz, 26, Statesboro, Georgia. Dennis, what's your breakfast of choice? Okay, you didn't ask what I eat for breakfast. What I eat for breakfast and my breakfast of choice have nothing in common. Nothing. What do I eat? I'm on this no-sugar type of diet, of really way of eating. It's not even a diet. And what would I really like? I'll tell you what I would like. I would like pancakes smothered with fresh maple syrup and whipped cream and perhaps a little ice cream and some yummy jam on the side. That is more or less my ideal breakfast. The last time I had that, I was 4. Eve from Dallas. Eve didn't want to give her age. Okay. Texas, yes. Dennis, why do you prefer taking non-political questions during the fireside chat? Because most of life isn't politics. That's why. A normal human being goes through the day thinking about things other than politics. How are my family members doing? How am I feeling? What will bring me happiness in life? What will bring me misery? Who will I meet to marry? Why is my marriage in trouble? How come I can't meet financial problems? Why is my sister not talking to my mother? That's what most people are thinking about. not the budget talks in Washington. And that's what I think about. I think about, that's why I have an hour every week on called Ultimate Issues Hour. You know, this is one of the great advantages of being raised in serious religion. Not you know, not ephemeral, not superficial religion, but real good, serious, the all the offshoots of the Judeo-Christian religions in America, for example. Protestant, Catholic, Evangelical, Mormon, Jewish, and you know, when you grow up like that, as I did, a religious Jew, we didn't think about politics. We thought about, is there a God? What is good? What is evil? What is the meaning of life? Isn't that more important? And it just interests me more. I have to talk about politics because I have no choice. It's the way it is. I am a talk show host. I have a national talk show on 250 stations, and people expect me to comment on some of the things happening. But among my peers, I talk about politics probably less than any of my colleagues. And a lot of people appreciate it, and some people prefer all political talk. I understand that. Caleb, 13. Dennis, how do you deal with stress? By avoiding it. No, that's a very great question, Caleb. How do you deal? Stress is part of life. I'll talk about that. What I try to avoid is tension. That's why I don't like to be around drama kings or drama queens. People who create drama in life. If you said to me, Dennis, you can have a daily bee sting or live with someone who has daily drama, I would take the bee sting. Because the bee sting hurts for a couple of minutes, you put on something, it's over. But with the drama king or drama queen, it never ends. So I have tremendous stress. That's part of life. How do I deal with it? I accept that it's part of life. That already reduces its terribleness, if you will. It's part of life. So I understand that. You want no stress. People who want no stress go to drugs, go to alcohol, go to gambling, go to things to get their mind off all stress. It's not healthy to, you can't avoid stress. There's gratuitous stress, which that's what I would call tension, unnecessary stress. So first of all, I don't worry. In general, I'm not a worrier. And I don't worry because most of the things we worry about don't actually happen. That's the interesting thing. Because I always figure I could worry later. Why worry in advance? It's like my mom, may she rest in peace. So my mom lived in New Jersey. I lived in California. So I would visit her. And the moment I got into the door, she'd go, oh, God, you're leaving Monday. I go, Ma, it's Thursday. Why don't you worry about my leaving Monday on Monday? Let's enjoy Thursday to Monday in the meantime. It was a very funny thing, but that's what she would do. She would spend a lot of time fretting about the fact that I'm leaving Monday and not allowing herself to enjoy the other days as much. So worrying doesn't accomplish anything. And most of the time, I really do believe that, it doesn't come to fruition. And if it does, it's not as bad as what you worried it would be like. That's the other thing. What else do? I maximize joy in my life. I'm a big believer. Dr. Stephen Marmer has been on my happiness hour a lot. Did a whole hour once on the happiness hour. He's a teacher of psychiatry at UCLA Medical School. And he spoke about daily joys. The little joys of life bring almost the most happiness. And that was a lot of truth. So I have a lot of little joys, from my cigar to my music to so much else. And I try to maximize that and have as much fun in my work. I don't pursue fun, but I do use fun to make my work much more pleasurable. Negin, N-E-G-I-N, 49, from Grenada, the country of Grenada. Hi. Dennis, do you buy it when you hear someone say they love everyone or love humanity? I think Negin has heard me on this issue. So let me cite my favorite book, the Bible. It says, love your neighbor as yourself. Even atheists have heard that phrase, right? It's from the book of Leviticus, third book of the Bible. Love your neighbor as yourself. And when I teach it, and I've been teaching this my whole life. When I teach it, I explain, why doesn't it say love everyone as yourself? Or love the world as yourself? And that's part of the brilliance of the Bible. Because it's easy to love everyone. It's hard to love your neighbor. When I hear people who love humanity, I saw that when I was at graduate school. And they were tearing down the campus. This is not new, the left tearing down campuses. They were tearing down the campus. Then it was against the war in Vietnam. And they really acted in a terribly mean way to teachers and to deans and to people who didn't agree with them. But they did it in the name of love of humanity. It's like the Antifa thugs who beat people up who differ with them. But they do it in the name of anti-hate. They radiate hate. They live on hate, but they're anti-hate. There's a lot of Orwellianism going on. Anyway, I love people who love individuals. What does it mean to love humanity? What does it mean anyway? You love 7 billion people? That's quite an achievement. Most people struggle with loving 2. 3 more questions. Sangone in Champaign, Illinois. Dennis. Whoa. Dennis, do you think a couple with opposite political views can still have a happy marriage? No. What about friends with opposite political views? Okay, so let me just say this. If you're already married and have opposite political views, I just want you to love each other up and probably avoid politics. But in advance, why on God's earth would you marry someone with whom you differ on fundamental questions of life? I don't care how good the sex is. It's going to be impaired ultimately if you differ on fundamental values issues. If you differ on your favorite movie, marry. But if you differ on fundamental questions of values, you see the world differently in such a way, why would you marry the person? Say, well, it's a wonderful person. I don't deny that. Maybe a wonderful person. So what? As with regard to friends, I would say, so if you already have a close friendship with somebody, don't ruin it with political talk. I don't want you to give up your friends necessarily. It may become inevitable, but I don't want you to be the one to necessarily initiate it. But people understandably want the most intimate people in their lives to share their deepest values. And here's one of the obvious reasons. Because in order to make it work, you're going to have to keep quiet. That means you have to hide a major part of yourself. That's not a relationship. Hiding who you are is not a relationship. Then they don't love you. They love the part of you that is verbalized, but not all of you. And likewise, you of them. So it's asking for trouble. Pedro in Bogota, Colombia. Dennis, what are your thoughts on same-sex couples adopting children? Well, first let me just tell you empirically that I am very close to two same-sex couples, one two women, one two men, who have actually, in the women, they've conceived, so it's not adoption. The men had, in their case, they had a surrogate give birth with their sperm, and so that's not adoption either, to be technical. But I do want to state that I'm extremely close to both families. In fact, my wife and I are the godfather to the two men who have two children, godfather to their children. So I love these people up, and it's a non-issue. However, having said that, I want to answer you totally clearly. If there are two couples, one is a married man and woman, and the other is, if you will, two married men, two married women. I want to make it apples and apples. Not only that, to keep it apples and apples, All three couples are wonderful human beings. Okay? And they exist, obviously. Kind, financially stable, emotionally stable, want to love children. But so I have these three couples in front of me, and I have a child for adoption. They all want to adopt the child. I would favor the married man and woman, because I want to start a child with a mother and father. If that is hate, then it shows how powerfully effective left-wing rhetoric is, that that is considered a hateful statement. That you think a child ideally should start out life with a mother and father. By the way, I believe both couples that I know of would agree with me, the gay couples that I'm talking about. Otherwise, what you're saying is it's irrelevant. You have to go to graduate school to think it's irrelevant. It's not irrelevant. Can a wonderful child be raised by a same-sex couple? Of course. I'm counting on it with the two that I'm close to, the two couples that I'm close to. But you asked about adoption, so my first choice is, if there is a wonderful married man and woman, they should get first choice to have a child for the child's sake. Not because I'm pro-heterosexuals, but because I'm pro-child and think a child ideally should start out life with a mother and father. Finally, Fatima, 15, from California. Dennis, I'm Muslim and politically conservative. Any advice for how I can effectively advocate my values within the Muslim world? Whew. Well, it'd be very interesting. I'll tell you what you should do. I think you should make a list of five fundamental conservative values, and then five fundamental left-wing values, and ask your Muslim relatives, friends, community, without listing them, which do you feel that as a Muslim, or whatever identity you want, as an American or American Muslim, Muslim American, whatever the identity would be, which do you feel resonates more with your value system? All right? Take the example of big government. That's Otto. Otto listens very carefully when I speak, and when I hit a very sensitive issue, he's a sensitive dog. You okay? Great. No, he's not.
He opposes big government.
Yes, you say big government, and by golly, Otto snorts and sneezes, coughs. I think he's having a dream.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mrs. Otto. This is hilarious. This does not happen often, but this is my house. You want to give him a shake? Otto, all is good, Otto. All is good. On the last question, he decides to intervene. Okay, thank you, Jared. Jared has a way with bulldogs. It's a gift. No, it is a gift. I've never seen anything like it. And both English and French bulldogs, right? It's
more
French, but he's English. So it worked. Where were we? Oh, yes. So ask your relatives. So what's better? That people first take care of themselves and then their family, then their community, or that the government first take care of themselves, their family, and community. All right? That's what I mean. Make this list and then see what they say. So, guys, thank you. Always great to be with you. This is the end of fundraising month, by the way, for Prager University. We're doing good work. We don't have a mean word in 250 videos. We have very wonderful men and women from all over the world give these courses. We are trying to present a better way to lead a good life. So help us, because they are free, but it costs a lot to do all this work. So just go to PragerU.com, or what? That's basically it, right?
Link in the post.
There's a link on the post, and there's a post on the link, both. No, there's only a link on the post. Okay. Thanks for being with me. Will I see everybody next week? Yeah, I think I'll be in town. All the best. Thank